I've been thinking this morning about something. We're not gonna do what I said yesterday. We're gonna look back at some things that happened in Genesis. So let's go to Genesis 3. Well, wait a minute. Don't go there yet. We gotta go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 26. Yeah, it's Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living being. But in, as a living being, he had still no connection to spirit. He was a living being. He made out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And we know what happened in the garden.
Say that again, please. God created man.
It says, God formed man of the dust of the ground.
And he was a living being.
He was a living soul.
I thought you said a minute ago he was a living being.
That's
and
what
then
a being.
God did something else and he became a living soul.
No.
No.
It's okay, the same. Sure. The same thing. Living being is the same. The same as saying a living soul.
Okay.
But not yet spiritual.
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
He's a living being. With a soul, but not yet spiritual.
Right. Now, again, the intent was, well, he made woman next, but the intent was that they were in a state of innocence. And this is a hard thing to understand. And the innocence meant that they were not aware of themselves. There was no self-consciousness. Got it? Everybody understand that? Now the intent was to transform that innocence into holiness. And what holiness is, it's not something mysterious. It's mysterious, but not, it shouldn't be. It's you transform innocence into holiness. And the only way to do that is by antagonism. It has to be tested.
Is that when he became spiritual?
He didn't become spiritual. He didn't become spiritual until Pentecost. And that's the biggie. Now the ones, there are many that did become spiritual because they saw Christ. They saw his day and were glad, were fulfilled.
I'm sorry, this is important to me.
Well, I know it's important. That's why we're doing it.
God's plan was to transform this innocence into holiness.
Right.
But that got derailed.
That got derailed when they fell.
So there is no innocence and there's no holiness.
Until
they became spiritual.
Until the antagonism of the test was finished. And that's the only way, the only place it was finished was in Christ. That's why he had to be both Son of Man and Son of God. And because at every opportunity that God had, well, let's look for a minute. Let's look at Genesis 3.
Isn't the fall have some spirituality that fell from
who?
The fall. That seemed like a spiritual.
Yeah, it was the wrong spirit. It was the spirit of the Antichrist.
It's a fall from grace. What does that mean?
I didn't say that. That I know. That's when you fall from grace is when you are like Satan. You want to be as God, to judge for yourself what's good and evil instead of just simple abandonment.
Isn't that what happened here?
Huh?
Isn't that what happened here?
Right. The man fell from the state of grace by eating of the tree that knows good and evil. Let's talk about innocence a minute. The reason I said so many times that Shannon was the most important member of the body is because she reflected innocence. She was not aware of herself as an independent being. And I've said now that Lalo, Orlando, is much the same way. He's aware if he's hungry, he's aware if he's nervous, but he doesn't see himself as an independent being in the same way we do. That's why connection to mother is so important. And that's the same with us. When we were, before we reached the terrible twos, the connection to mother was everything. There was no separate awareness of you as a being. You were aware only if there was a need. And then you went to mother for that need. This concept is critical to understanding the mystery of God. And it was male and female because the mystery of the bride was revealed in, or the marriage supper of the Lamb was revealed in Adam and Eve. Okay? Then, well, just look at one verse, in verse chapter 3.
They were quote unquote married, Adam and Eve.
They were to be one flesh. That was the goal.
It wasn't the. It was a goal. It wasn't.
No, they were. They were there. Again, the only way that could happen, the only way a marriage can happen from God's standpoint, is spirit. That's why the mystery of the bride. The mystery of the bride is revealed in everything from Adam and Eve, then in all of the parables, and all of the activities of Christ, up to Revelation 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb. But if that's the only way you'll really understand the scriptures. Otherwise, you will think there's something weird going on. You know, they go and they wipe out every man, woman, and child. And God destroyed the earth with Noah because the seed of that mystery was mixed. And it can never be mixed. That's why our position now has to have nothing to do with time and space. That's why if you give importance to anything in time and space, you fall back. You fall back. And then you fall from grace, are left to your own devices, and then something has to happen to return you to grace. And the only thing that can happen is repentance. This is why everything that I talk about is about that mystery in one way or another. That's the only thing that's going on.
The mystery of the bride was initially reflected in Adam and Eve, but not realized?
Not fulfilled.
Oh, okay.
But it was, the purpose was manifest because, all right.
From the fall until Pentecost, there was no spirituality, nothing spiritual.
No, every time, as in Abel, when he saw the mystery of the sacrifice, the death required because of the fall, then he was spared. His blood is still prophesying to us. That's what it says.
I don't understand what that means.
Let's go to Matthew real quick. Matthew 12, maybe, or no, Matthew 23. Start in verse 32, well, 31. No, we have to go to 30, I'm sorry. And if you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto or against yourselves, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. In this mysterious verse, fill you up then the measure of your fathers. And the measure of our fathers is this, that if you and I had been in the days of the prophets, we would have sawn Isaiah in half, we would have killed, well, we could have gone through. Then finally, we would have crucified Christ. That's what it means to fill up the measure of your fathers. So you see the total and complete evilness of you as an individual. And it's because of self-awareness. Because when there's self-awareness, there's automatically self-realization. And so it's the fruit of the fall. So here's what it says then.
Can you repeat the scripture, please? Because I wrote down 13:31, and then.
Well, we started. That's what we start in 23, chapter 23, verse 30. Let me read it again. And if you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourselves, or against yourselves, that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. And that's explained in the next verse. Well, the next couple of verses. You serpents, you sons of the snake, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, if you don't believe you're a son of the snake, then you can't understand anything. You'll try to put Jesus' name on your flesh. This is critical. This is at the nature of the beast. This is why we are in the state of the greatest apostasy that the church has ever seen. Because now we're teaching self-realization in the name of God. And it's rampant worldwide. God is fixing our lives. He's making our lives better. He's making us successful. He intervened in my thingy so I could get my other thingy, or, you know, on ad nauseum. So now this is explained, and so is the blood of. Now watch. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues or in your churches, and persecute them from city to city. Remember the word synagogue and the word church. Both just mean one thing. It means a gathering of people. It never has anything to do with a building. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barshit, whatever that guy's name is, who you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. In other words, we are now in there's only two generations in the Bible from God's perspective. There's the generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. The generation of Adam, all has to come. All the evil that has ever been done on the earth, you have to see that you did it. Again, if you think you're righteous about something, you can't hear that. And you certainly can hear this if you put God's name on your flesh in any way. Does that sink in, or does anybody want to?
There's a scripture that talks about he quickens our mortal bodies.
Right, by the life of Christ.
Mortal bodies.
That's the same thing. That's why he had to be Son of Man and Son of God. What?
Well, the question was, that I thought John was asking was, what about, who was spiritualized? And you were going back and talking about the prophets, but
the only one that spiritualized is Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And he was spiritualized when Abel saw him.
I heard you say that Abel was spiritualized.
He was, when he saw Jesus, and Jesus in him was spiritualized.
Okay. All right.
That's the mystery.
Abel was spiritualized, but the part of Abel that was spiritualized was Christ in it.
Right.
Abel
saw the mystery of the sacrifice.
I guess I had a difficult time in my limited consciousness or mind separating Abel into these two things. The spiritualized and the Christ-like and the un-Christ-like, or the spiritual, the unspiritual, or I don't know. It gets kind of cloudy for me.
Right, because you have to see it can never have anything to do with you.
So from the time of the fall until Pentecost, at least until that time, by your definition, the only part of human beings or humanity that was spiritualized was Christ in them.
Right. The only, like when it says Isaiah saw his day and was glad. He was glad because he saw the mystery.
That didn't change after Pentecost, really, did it?
No. But Pentecost certified that man was dead. When we killed his son, that was it. That then his own right arm got him the victory. Instead of...
Okay. Really, there isn't a whole lot of difference in fact, any, between man today and Abel.
Amen.
As it relates to being spiritualized.
Amen. And Abel had to die. But he saw in that his death the mystery of Christ. That's why Abel was the first member of the church. That's why I've said for years there's no difference now than there was back then. There's no difference. It's the same thing that has to happen. The only difference is that in man now there is no hope. Because that which all those things, all the law and the prophets were signified, as it says, all that came from the pattern that was shown Moses on the mount. It was shown Moses on the mount the entire mystery of this purpose of time and space. And then that was revealed in the temple and in the sacrifices, just as it had been revealed in all and Abel and others that saw him.
We have no hope.
The human race has no hope.
But they did previously?
The same. They had hope if they saw the mystery and died to self. That's the only way. But it's a total death of self. And that's why Abel is so important. This is why the gospel, it says, it's good news to man. No, it isn't. It's the worst news that could ever be. But it's unbelievable news to God. But if you try to keep yourself alive in any way, and you keep yourself alive by using the mind. Remember, that's why there's a sin offering and then the trespass offering. You can't get into the, even have a trespass offering unless the sin offering has been dealt with. The sin offering is you. It recognizes you're going to trespass after this mystery is apprehended, so there's the trespass offering. All of those are without the camp. But it's so critical that you see it has nothing to do with you. That's why your death must be seen as total. That's reflected in the meaning of baptism. Your burial. This is that the seething blood. That's why this guy was so important, Zacharias, that they killed between the porch and the altar. His blood seethed for, 252 years. Well, the blood is still seething in Adam. Because, well, it's not really Adam, because Jesus Christ was the last Adam. If he was the last Adam, who are you? You as an individual are an antichrist, an instead of Christ. Because you choose to keep him alive. You choose more self-realization. Let's look at go to 2 Chronicles chapter 11.
I think when we're talking about hope, that Jesus Christ in you is your hope.
Right, but it's for him to be in you, you have to be dead. Hope is only about the resurrection. And the resurrection has nothing to do with you. That's why if any man, all of the scriptures that we've studied in Luke, the cost of discipleship is everything. Second Chronicles. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I forgot what I said. Second Chronicles what?
11.
that's not it. That's too obtuse anyway. Remember this journey, and we've talked about so many times. It's all about going from the world, and the world system, crossing over the Red Sea, it was baptism, receiving or seeing the law, finally getting into the promised land, and finally seated on the mercy seat. And that journey is one breath away. Because it's finished. But it can't be finished. It's not finished for you, it's finished for Christ. And until the reckoning comes that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me, then all of this will be taken automatically as an instrument of self-realization, anything to keep you alive. As long as that happens, the mystery is hid. The veil is down. You may understand or say the words, but they have no power because the word isn't being made flesh in you. I wrought unto you little children, darling infants, because your sin is forgiven. Then I wrought unto you teenagers, because you have known the Father. Nothing else works. And finally, I wrought unto you young men, and you are strong, and the word of God abideth continually in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And then finally, I wrought unto you fathers, because you've been with him from the beginning. The only time you can reproduce is in the father position. You can reproduce more flesh, that's easy. But it costs you everything. It costs you all your tomorrows. It costs you all your past. Costs you the idea of ownership of anything. Everything, anything and everything. It's about the perfection of the bride. The garment not being spotted by the flesh in any way.
Just before the fall, if the innocence had been converted into holiness, was that the fulfillment of the bride?
Was that the what?
I don't know what that was. Was that the fulfillment of the bride? Well, God had his plan and it went crazy.
Well, then the fall would...
How would that have shown itself?
The fall wouldn't have happened. And the reproduction of Adam and Eve and their children would all be in that position of without self-awareness.
Right.
And until the number of whatever, how many that number is, but we would have been created in a way that we wouldn't have, we would have entered his rest at our birth and we would have stayed there. We wouldn't have gone from innocence to the terrible twos.
I understand.
And so that mystery was then thwarted. It was revealed, if you can see it, but it was thwarted by the fall. And it was, the fall was so...
That's been abandoned? That plan's abandoned?
Well, no, the same plan is there. The bride. And so God gave every generation, I mean, all these different things, a chance. He tested them with, you know, with no law. You know, and then we, each of these things, they chose one family. And finally, when they killed the prophets, when they killed his son, then it was over. Then his own right arm, his own seed will get him the victory. And it's only through that reproduction of his seed in us and our being converted and becoming as that little child that we enter the kingdom of heaven. But that means to become as that little child is you in conversion and death, you see that it was you, all of you, that was buried. And he alone is resurrected in you. This is why that saying or affirmation that I love, I say it every night before I go to bed or before I go to sleep. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Now, if those words can penetrate, then finally the mystery can go bam. My God, it really is finished. It really is. I have no right to love anything, give breath to anything in time and space, because then when I do that, then I resurrect the evil one. Self-awareness is gone, for the most part. Periodically it arises when suffering is great or need is fantastic, but then it's confessed. This is the same thing I've been preaching for 40 years.
Yeah. What is it that caused you to start yelling earlier?
What?
You started yelling, something set you off about a question that somebody answered, and you just, your voice raised.
I have no idea. This is the Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. No longer my faith is meaningless. The only thing my faith brought me was to the end, to my death. Never to be resurrected. Muse on these things. Take a big guy.